Bushunen de noe magani dog, Beshigo, Benesi eque indigo, Mangan du dame, Ga usa squaja me kagen dun jaba, Ga mesqua wa co kagenda, Elaine Fleming indishina cause, me great for this good life. And I've been telling the story about the life and times of She Nawish Kung, who has more popularly been known as Chief Bemidji. And of course, the city of Bemidji was named after him because the settlers misunderstood She Nawish Kung when they first met him, and he was talking about the name of the lake Bemidji, and they thought they were telling them that that was his name. So they named the village after Bemidji. Anyway, again, She Nawish Kung, the stories that we know about him come from newspaper accounts. And we know him in that way. And one way you can know a person, though, or you can know a people, is by the life and times through which they live. And so we just dedicated and unveiled a new statue of She Nawish Kung in Library Park in Bemidji. And before that, there were these wooden types of statues that were more commonly known as like folk art. And a committee worked on raising the money to dedicate a new statue, to build a new statue of She Nawish Kung and to tell the history of his life and times. And in doing that, we tell the history of our people, the Ojibwe of Leech Lake. And so She Nawish Kung, he lived during the assimilation era. And well, he was born in the removal era, he lived through the reservation era, and then into the assimilation era, and that's when he would die in 1904. And by this time, he's living up on the south shore of Lake Bemidji. And he was a very friendly man. He welcomed the settlers to Bemidji Gamag, and he always worked with them. And for one of the things that may have affected him was this 1837 treaty with the Ojibwe people and others, where it was the first large land cession treaty. And during this treaty, it was said that the Ojibwe people could continue to live and hunt and fish and gather on ceded land. And so the Ojibwe people, they always tried to follow the law. And She Nawish Kung was a man like that, where he lived on that land and he always was a good man, and he worked with the white people, with the settlers. And so the Ojibwe people, though, we had many back matters, such as the dam system, and irregular annuity payments, the 1847 reservation that was supposedly created for the Indians of Wisconsin who chose not to live there. But it was a reservation, almost 1 million acres, that the pillagers gave up so that it could be a buffer zone. And on there, the Menominee Ho-Chunk people would live, but they chose not to live there, and that land was opened up for sale. So that became a back matter that we always wanted settled. And in 1889, the federal dam on Leech Lake was completed, and it flooded 78 square miles of Ojibwe land. And Leech Lake became the third largest reservoir in Minnesota. And in 1889, A.R. Baines would talk about that to the Minnesota Commission, and he would talk about those graves and coffins and the bones that had already drifted out into the waters, and they were lost to the people, although they were supposed to have been removed and reburied. So in 1889, during when the Rice Commission came to to the Leech Lake Reservation to try to get the Ojibwe to agree to the Nelson Act, which would enable the Dawes Allotment Act. The Ojibwe people said they weren't going to talk about the allotment and Nelson Acts. They weren't going to sell any more land or remove to White Earth until those back matters were settled. And the Sturgeon Man of Winnebogoshish Reservation, he told the commission the Ojibwe owned the pine and would sell it to sustain themselves economically. Sturgeon Man said that the Ojibwe had hired an attorney and promised him $5,000 out of their fund. And that was the fund established to hold monies promised to the Ojibwe through treaties and losses. And they would pay that attorney to right the past matters. Commissioner Rice responded, and he told the Ojibwe that they didn't own a foot of land, they couldn't sell one tree, and they had no control over the reservation. He told the Ojibwe that the U.S. government wouldn't listen to their attorney, that they couldn't pay the attorney out of their own funds. They'd have to raise the money themselves. And Rice told the Ojibwe that if they wouldn't agree to the allotment and Nelson Act, that the commission would leave. And he said that the Ojibwe would lose their chance to be rich. That was his claim. And if they would agree to the Nelson and the Dawes Allotment Act, that we would be rich. The Ojibwe ended up agreeing to these acts at that time. So in 1893, Bagaumashikwe married the youngest daughter of Shenaushkung. She married M.E. Carson, and Carson was that owner of the Carson's Trading Post in Bemidji. And their first daughter, Laura, was born in December. And that was the first real Christmas celebration held in the Carson Trading Post. They said about 10 settlers and some family and in-laws of Shenaushkung celebrated together. In 1895, the first bill of lumber in Bemidji was sold to Shenaushkung, who bought the lumber for the floor in his bark house. He paid for that lumber with moose meat. In 1896, Bemidji was incorporated as a village with a population of 200. And in 1897, Beltrami County organized with Bemidji as a county seat. And all this time, Shenaushkung is living there. In 1898, the Great Northern Railroad came to Bemidji. And railroad surveys planned routes through Shenaushkung's property. At that time, Shenaushkung was 64. Also during this time, the Battle of Sugar Point occurred in 1898, that last official battle between the U.S. government and indigenous Americans in the United States. And the battle was a result of those unresolved treaty issues, those back matters. And Shenaushkung, it said in a newspaper article that he warned the settlers in Bemidji of the battle. And he said this same year that first statue was made to honor Shenaushkung. It is carved out of boards nailed together by Gustav Hinsch, a harness maker, a painter, and a naturalist of Danish nationality. In 1899, in Cass Lake, there were squatters illegally settled on allotment land along the railroad tracks. I remember looking at old maps of Cass Lake, and you see like where track 33 is now, you see on the map north of Highway 2 there, it's called Indian Land, Indian Town, and then south of it is Cass Lake. But these squatters, they were ordered to remove themselves, and newspaper accounts of the times declared that there'd be great violence against the settlers by the Ojibwe. But Shenaushkung came to the newspaper office in Cass Lake and said that the Ojibwe did not want to fight anymore, that he was a man of peace. So in 1900, as a result of the 1898 railroad survey, Shenaushkung and other people of his village to the east of the river were removed to the Cass Lake Reservation. And November 19, 1900, President William Taft signed a deed to Shenaushkung for an allotment of 80 acres between Kitchee and Big Rice Lakes. In 1903, Shenaushkung was removed from Bemidji to his allotment on the Cass Lake Reservation. That's approximately 20-plus miles northwest of Bemidji. He tried to retain his land in Bemidji as his allotment, but he failed. He tried to retain his land through homestead by giving up his tribal affiliation, but that also failed. And in 1903, that's the same year the Canton Indian Insane Asylum was opened in Minnesota. And you know that not all inmates were mentally ill. Ojibwe risked confinement in that asylum for opposing the government or business interests, for alcoholism, and for being culturally misunderstood, such as having visions. So these are the types of things that Shenaushkong was very aware of. The Ojibwe were aware of these things happening in their lives. And in his 70 years, in 1904, that's when he died. And he died of pneumonia on his allotment at the age of 70. His funeral was held in Bemidji and attended by the public. The schools even closed, and the children went to his ceremony. And the procession formed on Minnesota Avenue and marched to the Greenwood Cemetery. And they say that's where he was buried, and they say there's a monument there for him. But his burial is in question because evidence suggests he was actually buried in the eastern part of Beltrami County at the Mission Community on the Cass Lake Reservation. I remember on June 6th, that Saturday, that morning I had a dream about Shenaushkong, because it's not known where he is buried. And I dreamt that I found his grave. And I think that, you know, we look at history in different ways. And I sat on this committee for the statue of Shenaushkong. And it was many times that I would ask him for help. I would ask him to teach me. And that morning that we unveiled and dedicated that statue, so many of us were just overwhelmed, and we were so happy to see something of great beauty honoring this man who was a friend of the settlers and was a good man. So, miigwech, bisan dawi yeg, miigwech, miyu.